Hello and welcome to the Permaculture Podcast with Scott Mann, a listener-supported program. My guest for this episode is Ann Stone, an education program associate with Penn State University who coordinates the Pennsylvania Women's Agriculture Network, an organization dedicated to connecting women farmers of all experience levels together for networking and education opportunities. During this interview, Ann and I discuss what this program is, how it came to be, what the ongoing efforts are to improve and expand the offerings, and what you can do to create a similar organization in your area. This program, and others like it, are another example of how we can come together to network and coordinate our efforts. If you enjoy this interview, or any other episode of the show, please consider making a donation. You can do so by going to thepermaculturepodcast.com/support. Now then, on to the interview with Ann Stone. I'll join you afterwards with some updates.
Then, Ann, could you give the listeners a bit of your background and how you came to do what you're doing?
Well, I'm an education program associate with the Pennsylvania Women's Agricultural Network, and I got lucky. I landed a job. I was working at Penn State for another agriculture-related program. It was a one-year grant that came to an end, and at that time, Amy Trotter was working on a postdoc, secured a grant from USDA to launch the Pennsylvania Women's Agricultural Network. So I moved right into this program, and that was in 2005.
And did you have much of a background in agriculture and education before moving into this?
My background, I didn't grow up on a farm, but grew up in a farming community. My parents, I guess we would call them homesteaders. They had gardens and fruit trees, produced a lot of our own food. But I have always been interested in food systems and creating sustainable livelihoods for farmers and supporting the local food networks.
And you see your work with PA Wagon as an extension of that?
My personal interest coordinated perfectly with this position because I can take the things I'm passionate about local sustainable farming practices, and bring that to my place of employment, bring that passion to my place of employment so that we can create opportunities for women in agriculture to not only sustain earth through their practices, but sustain their livelihoods and create networks where they can learn and grow from each other.
With that idea of the opportunities that you're developing, could you give us a bit of an overview of what the Pennsylvania Women's Agriculture Network does, like what kind of networking opportunities are offered, as well as some of the education and other programs that you do?
Yes. What we've discovered through a significant amount of research is that women in agriculture, a very common theme is that they feel so isolated. And so one of the main things we like to do is help remove that sense of isolation. And we do that through on-farm educational events. We have hands-on workshops, conferences. We have recently launched a mentoring network. We have online information sharing tools. We offer webinars, which we refer to as farminars. So we are offering a lot of learning opportunities, but at the base of the development of all of those opportunities, we're very much aware that networking is one of the greatest benefits that we can offer through all of these experiences.
Would it be fair to say then that you're offering as much of a social network as an educational network?
Yes, absolutely. We're very much aware of that, and we make every effort to make that happen and to incorporate that into all of our more formal educational events, as well as developing informal networking opportunities such as regional potlucks. We have regional representatives throughout the state that coordinate events in their own communities, and they have a pulse on the needs of the women farmers in their local communities, and they share that with us so that we can then take that information and develop educational opportunities to meet those needs.
So you're using a lot of feedback then to continually develop and grow the program so that it meets the needs of the farmers?
Absolutely. That is a constant in our program. Not only do we get feedback from our regional representatives, but at every educational event, we ask our participants to complete an evaluation, and we ask them to be as critical as they possibly can, and we use that information to improve our programming. We also ask on a regular basis, what are their needs? What types of agriculture productions are they interested in learning more about? And then we find farmer experts who are willing to share their knowledge. And an interesting thing about our program is that it is a member-run program. We listen very closely to what our members are requesting. And the farmers are the experts. We just create those networks and those opportunities for meeting and sharing information and creating opportunities to continue developing their practices.
Here's where I guess I should disclose that my wife and I are both members of the organization and have attended some of the events that have been held. And I have to say that they've been some of the most friendly, welcoming classes and other engagements that we've had within the sustainable community as a whole. And I'm really thankful that this program exists and is so open to people who are interested in being able to connect and find these opportunities, both because of the number of small-scale producers that are out there, as well as the expertise that you're finding on each of the different farms that are available. I'm looking at one of the emails that you sent out recently for an upcoming class on mob grazing. And that's at the Yeehaw Farm, and I was fortunate to go there when that was coordinated with Susan Godwin, who came and spoke about female farmers in Nigeria, as well as doing a farm tour.
Yes, you're referring to the Oxfam farm tour, and you can find a little bit more information about that on the PA Wagon website. And thank you so much for your input about those field days and that great feedback. I am so impressed with the women farmers who are so willing to share their knowledge. And I know that they are extremely busy people, extremely busy. And for them to take a day out of their farming operation to spend the day with all of us and share this wealth of information, it is just such a rewarding opportunity to be a part of that. And that is that sense of being welcome, and that they're so humble and so willing to share all of their information. And we're just so fortunate to be a part of that network.
And with a state as large as Pennsylvania, you're coordinating all over the place and lots of educational opportunities for anyone who would want to come and participate.
That's correct. We have broken the state down into four regions, Western, Central, Northeastern, and Southeastern. And we try to coordinate at least 2 to 3 on-farm educational events in each of those regions throughout the year. And in addition to that, because Pennsylvania is such a large state, the geographic barriers are significant. So new this year, we just started offering the farminars. So that as a follow-up to a field day, we then have the farmer conduct a webinar, reviewing the information that they shared during the field day, so that people that were unable to attend the field day can participate in the webinar and ask questions and learn from one another. But also the people that did attend the field day can join in on the farminar so that they can ask all of those questions that developed after the event, and they can also share some of the information that they learned with some newcomers. And it's another way to also promote that networking, to keep people connected and keep people talking.
I also find that for all-day events that are hosted on the farm and include a lunch and time for people to come together, that the registration fees are very, very reasonable. The one that I see here is under $20 for a full day. Are you able to keep the registration costs low because of ongoing grants to support the program, or is the program now self-sustaining?
The program is currently funded through a USDA New and Beginning Farmer Rancher Program grant. And because of that funding, we are able to offer significantly reduced field day registration fees. So the $15 registration fee that we typically request covers primarily the cost of lunch and maybe some printouts. All of the farmer honorarium, any travel or any expenses associated with that field day are covered through those grants. So again, that's another reason why we request evaluation of our field days, because through that evaluation, we are able to continue to secure grants and continue to offer these educational events at significantly reduced costs.
And you've been in charge of this program since 2005, so that's 8 years of securing funding and continue to grow and expand the program. Have you been fairly happy with how all of this has come together, pairing the grant money with the opportunities and keeping the program running?
Absolutely. Very happy. We are so fortunate to be here at Penn State. We have a working group, which is a combination of faculty, staff, and grad students at Penn State. And we're so fortunate to have this faculty working with us because they are amazing grant writers, and they have, for the past 8 years, have wholeheartedly supported this program through their efforts in funding and promoting and their overall support of the program.
Now, as we've said, this is the Pennsylvania Women's Agriculture Network, and you're at Penn State, which is one of the land-grant universities, and also runs the state's extension program. As you say, with all the resources that you have available, that allows you to continue to receive the grant funding. Is the USDA grant for the new farmers and ranchers, is that something that's available nationwide, or is that something that's being offered specifically in Pennsylvania?
That is a national grant.
And do you know, are there other programs like PA Wagon offered in other states if people wanted to find one?
Yes. In fact, we modeled our program after Vermont's Women in Agriculture Network, and I know Iowa has a Women in Agriculture Network. In fact, they are hosting this year's Women in Sustainable Agriculture Conference. That is in November. Ohio has an organization that targets women farmers. North Carolina recently launched a Women in Agriculture program. So they're cropping up all over the United States. And we are very fortunate to have this opportunity to work very closely with our sister organizations.
It's really inspiring for me to hear that there are more that continue to develop, because from the Pennsylvania standpoint, it's just a great organization. And you're doing a lot of really great work. And I'm sure that it's hard to get, as you say, farmers with their full days to be able to take the time out to offer these opportunities to folks. In the time that you've been working with this, how have you seen the program just within Pennsylvania grow?
When I started in 2005, there was a membership of about 125 people. The Pennsylvania Women's Agricultural Network membership is now over 1,500. It continues to grow daily, and constantly, I have people asking us how they can become members, how they can become more involved. And I think that even though I want this network to continue forever, the formal network, I think if we went away, the relationships that we have helped build with farmer-to-farmer organizations and all of that information sharing and networking, I firmly believe that those connections have now been made and that the networks will continue to grow and will continue to thrive now that a basis for that has been developed.
With that base being there and the connections that have been made already, where do you see taking this program and this organization moving forward? Would you want to expand on the offerings that currently exist, or do you have other ideas that you're looking to develop in the future, or is that all based on the feedback that you're getting from the members?
A lot of it is based on the feedback we are getting from members. A lot of it is the opportunities available to us through funding organizations such as USDA. Some programs we try, they don't really work, so we adjust how we deliver them or do away with them, try something else. Currently, we are offering a mentoring program, and we hope to see that strengthen and develop over the next couple of years. I think a lot of it is based on member feedback, because the webinars, the farminars, that is something new that we are offering, and that is based on member feedback. I would like to continue offering the on-farm educational opportunities, because through our research, we have learned that the learning styles of women, they prefer the hands-on opportunities. They prefer peer-to-peer learning. They don't want to sit in a classroom with a PowerPoint presentation. So I would really love to be able to continue offering those on-farm educational events, as well as our annual networking symposium, which typically happens in December. This year it's December 10. Judy Wicks will be our keynote speaker, of the founder of White Dog Cafe. And so we're really excited to continue what we've already developed through the field days and workshops, but to continuously add new elements that reach the needs of our members.
As women's agricultural networks continue to develop and grow throughout the country, if someone was interested in letting their voice be known about wanting an organization like this, if it doesn't exist in their state, do you have any suggestions on how they could go about starting along that road? Who would be the right kinds of people to contact in order to get an organization like this started?
Well, I think informal networks are a great way to launch something initially. So reaching out to other women farmers in their own communities to get that started. And then at PA Wagon, we developed a steering committee, which we continue to get feedback from our steering committee. We meet 4 times a year. And we have invited farmers, NGO representatives, agency representatives to serve on this steering committee to help us continue to develop our program, to help us identify grant opportunities or partnership opportunities, networking opportunities. And for funding, I would suggest looking at USDA grants website. Also, SARE offers some grants that might help launch a program. So just a little bit of research online, and I think people would be surprised at the opportunities they will find. And also, if anyone has any questions about those grant opportunities, I welcome them to call me or email me, and I'd be happy to share with them our experience and what has been successful for us.
And I will certainly get that information out so that people will know how to get in touch with you and find out more, both about the program in Pennsylvania, as well as some links to the other organizations, and include some notes on how they can contact you directly. We've covered a lot of what I was looking to get into. Is there anything else that you would like to add?
The one thing that I get from every on-farm educational event or every conference or every workshop is that I walk away so inspired to improve what I'm doing, to reach out more to other women in agriculture, to strengthen networks. I am always so inspired by the strength of the women in agriculture that I work with and their ability to share their vision and their skills and their knowledge, and it's always such an inspiring opportunity to share a day with like-minded people. So I guess the one thing I would really like to pass along is that these opportunities go beyond just the education that we gain from them. It's a whole, in many ways, it changes my way of thinking about a certain production practice, or it changes my way of thinking about a certain type of farming operation, or it inspires me to market things in a different way. So it's just so important to walk away feeling so inspired. But something also that I think is very, very important, and I see our women farmers doing this frequently, is they share what didn't work for them. And I think in many ways that is so beneficial, because it saves us all from investing a lot of time and money into something that isn't going to work. And so having that information is also hugely valuable, because we walk away thinking, wow, I really wanted to do this, but now I think I need to research it a little more and approach this differently. So that's also a really valuable thing that we learn at every event.
I imagine that kind of candor really only comes through when you've gotten to know some people and you're in a place where you can be open and trust them in the conversation that you're having.
Exactly. And so many of our women farmers do, even though they're sharing a lot of technical information at an on-farm event, they're also very animated in their delivery in many situations. And so I think people just feel very comfortable and very at ease in this type of learning environment.
I can certainly say that, as even though this is the Pennsylvania Women's Agriculture Network, as a man coming for some of the opportunities that have been presented, I've been very welcomed. But I remember when I was at Yeehaw Farm, Judy Raydell, who is just, oh, she is so funny with her delivery. And there was one time she was explaining something to someone and I was standing there and she's like, Scott, come over here and play my husband for a second.
I'm glad that you feel welcome coming to the event of the Pennsylvania Women's Agricultural Network. But I want to point out that we are non-discriminatory. All are welcome to attend our events. But we do develop all of these learning opportunities with the learning styles of women at the forefront of the planning. So I think that addresses why the Women's Agricultural Network. It's because we have a different learning style, and so we try to address those needs through our events.
And I can appreciate that because of how different they are from many of the other events that I've attended offered by other organizations. One of the things that you mentioned earlier about failures and having people share those, I think that that's one of the hardest things to find when talking with people who are farming, and being able to have a real open dialogue about what it's like to farm on the ground and what it's like to be a farmer and to have a farm family. And for many of the people who listen to this show who are interested in farming, that's one of the questions that I get a lot, is who can we hear from who haven't had a good run? And what about people who have had farms that have failed, or just on-farm failures? And I'm thankful for you and the other people who were involved to be building that kind of an environment. And organizations like the Pennsylvania Women's Agriculture Network may be the place for my listeners to find the kinds of people who they want to talk to learn more about the successes and the failures of farming.
That is such an important takeaway bit of information from every field day and every workshop, is what worked and what didn't work and why it didn't work. And if they were to do it differently, how would they do it differently to make it a successful endeavor? But sometimes people's eyes are open through a field day as well. We had a field day at Wayside Acres Goat Dairy, and they have recently started making goat cheese, value-added goat cheese. So we did a value-added cheese workshop at their farm. We had people coming to the field day saying they were so excited about making goat cheese. They couldn't wait to produce it, market it, sell it, until they went to this field day, talked to the farmer, and the farmer was very open about her finances and gave a rundown of how much it cost to open this cheese-making facility. So we had people walking away saying, you know what, this really isn't for me right now, that the financial investment at this point is not feasible. So they walked away with some knowledge about how to make the cheese and how to market it and how to care for the goats. But I think that bit of information was the most valuable thing they probably walked away with that day, was to know that they had some financial barriers that they needed to address before they went and bought 50 goats and built a barn and all of this thing. So it's always very enlightening.
Do you have any other of those very enlightening kind of moments, those paradigm shifts for people through your years of coordinating this organization?
There are so many. This is an interesting opportunity coming up. Katy College, who owns and operates Stony Creek Iris Farm and Cool Bean CSA, realized that she's getting older and she's not, as farmers, we don't always take care of our bodies, our most valuable resource. And she realized that every day she was waking up with aches and pains, and she bartered one of her CSA shares to a personal trainer to come to her farm and follow her around for a few days and tell her how she could be working differently to preserve her body. And so now Katie has taken that a step further and is offering a workshop at her farm so that we can all learn what this personal trainer has taught her about ergonomics of tools and equipment and how we can use them properly to take care of ourselves. So it's just such an interesting thing that we don't think about on a day-to-day basis. The abuse that we're putting our bodies through, producing healthy food. So not only do we need to sustain the earth and our farms and our livelihoods, but we need to take care of this most valuable resource ourselves.
And that also shows the value that your members get from the organization to learn something and then offer it back to the community that you're building to benefit the others who are involved. I think that's great.
It's exciting to see that knowledge sharing. And it happens so naturally for so many of our women farmers. They're just, I don't see the competitiveness in our women farmers. I see them wanting to be successful, but I see them wanting their peers to be successful as well.
As each member finds a way to improve their practices, however that might be, they want to share it so that others can improve theirs and they can all rise up together.
Yes. Yesterday I was at an urban farm field day at Joshua Farm in Harrisburg. And we were so happy to see farm interns from Dickinson College, from Delaware Valley College, from Fulton Farm of Wilson College there. And when the day concluded, representatives from all three of those colleges approached us saying, we would love for you to now come visit our farms. And so that's so exciting to see that they're not only inspired by the information they're learning during that field day, but they also now want to welcome us and our members onto their farms so that they can continue teaching.
I think for my listeners, that's good to hear of the way that these networks can help continually grow as we make these connections with one another. Some of the conversations that we have are about the invisible structures that we need to encourage in order to build a better world through ecological design and sustainable farming and many of the other practices that are discussed on the show. And here you are living that experience of building and growing kind of, if you will, organically between people and groups, and not only in academia, but also with the people who are on the ground working. I love this. I just love hearing these stories from people and the successes that they're having. I understand the value of failures because of the things that they can save us, but how inspirational it can be. As you've said, when you come away from the field days and the farminars, you're so inspired by the work that other people are doing. And just for me to hear about the work that other people are doing and the successes that they're having and how that can help others do this work, especially, as you say, with like the financial outlays and needing to know what it's like to really be a farmer or part of a farming family, and putting that all together in a way that it's balanced, productive, yet continues to grow. Thank you, Anne, for sitting and talking with me through all of this.
Well, Scott, thank you so much for the work that you are doing and for sharing information about the Pennsylvania Women's Agricultural Network. It is a continually growing network, and we're happy to expand our opportunities through your program. Thank you again. I appreciate the work that you're doing and for including us in one of your podcasts.
Before we bring this to a close, is there anything else that you'd like to add?
I firmly believe through the networks we are developing, both in a formal manner and an informal manner, whether that be through shared work days in your community, on your farms, that through these networks, we strengthen our communities and we develop opportunities for ourselves and for others to build a sustainable food system. And so I encourage everyone to participate in as many of these educational and networking programs as you can, because it will not only increase your knowledge, but it's going to increase your relationships and your partnerships, and that is vital continuation of small and medium-sized farms and in the development of local food systems and bringing in community awareness of the value of a local food system and connecting not just farmers with farmers, but consumers with farmers, so that our communities are aware of the struggles of small and medium-sized farms and that we can get the support from community members as well. So those networks are developing. And something I heard that really struck me recently was that every conversation that we have, people are listening. So if you're at a farmer's market or a grocery store or wherever you happen to be, you know, these are discussions we need to continue to have about the small and medium size farms, how to continue to sustain these farms, and how to continue to support our local economies, whether it be going to a farmer's market or having a CSA share or an on-farm stand, supporting our local farmers in any way that we can.
Thank you for that and all the work that you're doing, Anne, to make that happen. I'm so glad that you're focusing on building both a sustainable organization as well as sustainable farming and food systems. Thank you again so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Scott.
And that was Anne Stone. If you're interested in creating a similar organization in your area, you can contact Anne for more information. Her email address is ams39@psu.edu or by telephone 814-863-4489. If there's anything I can do to help you, please let me know. Leave a comment in the show notes, send me a message on Twitter, where I am @permaculturecst, or through the Facebook page, facebook.com/thepermaculturepodcast. And there's always email or phone, show@thepermaculturepodcast.com or 717-827-6266. Coming up next week on August 13th is Paul Garrett, and we talk about environmental education and outreach. After that is Nicole Foss, where we talk about the next two potential crises of economic and energy contraction, Rounding out August will be Dr. Laura Jackson with a detailed conversation about monocrop agriculture and restoration ecology. And Keith Johnson, the permaculture activist, gets us started for the month of September. Until the next time, take care of the earth, yourself, and each other, and the legal. The Permaculture Podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivative Works license. Feel free to share it with whoever you like, but make sure you tell them where you got it, and don't sell it or change it.